is RSBNB Update, episode 381, recorded Friday, October 5th, 2012, Drowning in Blood Wine. Ringing the bells. This is RSBNB Update. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode. You probably are hearing that in the background. So, it's just us two here this week, here to tell you about everything that happened RuneScape-related and otherwise.
Becky? Okay, go, go, go. I'm here.
Oh, okay. I was waiting for you to introduce yourself or something.
You don't need to introduce me. Everybody knows me anyway.
Yeah. Well, what was the jingling?
Dog. Collar.
Oh, okay. Well, so aside from a dog ringing around this week, we do actually have some RS news, and quite a bit at that. So, let's get started with Festival of the Dead, which is, you were saying, inspired based on a Spanish holiday.
Yes. There's a Spanish holiday called Day of the Dead, which actually starts around beginning of November. It's one of those things where you remember your ancestors and all that stuff. You know, all that good spiritual things that people do, except Shane.
So they're a bit early then.
They're what?
They're a bit early then.
If you say so.
Because it's October, not November.
Well, then again, Geico with the whole Halloween thing too.
Right.
It's going to be here for a while. That's not going to disappear.
That's true.
For a while anyway, so it's going to be here for a while. How many times did I just say a while?
I don't know. Too many.
Yeah, it's been a while, dude.
You can partake in this event in RuneScape either south of the Lumbridge Cemetery or in the Taverly Borthwick tutorial area. And in there you'll find a guy who has a coffin next to him and all the kind of supplies to dress it up and honor the dead. Specifically, Father Joachim in Lumbridge. And, apparently the guy's named the same thing in both places. That's a little strange, don't you think?
Well, he is dead. I don't think he has anywhere to go.
He's dead? I thought he was alive.
Oh, come on. He's a ghost in NPC pixel form.
Well, okay. So, Father Joachim has researched the Festival of the Dead back to its jade roots in Karamja. The most important centerpiece of the festival, it seems, is an item that once belonged to the dead, which is where you come in. Scour Gilinor for an item that once belonged to the recently deceased and give it as a gift to your chosen spirit. Then, of course, once that's done, you paint the clay skulls, offer flowers, and set off fireworks and tell stories of the dead. So, did you take part in any rituals?
No, I haven't had the time this whole week. It's been a very hectic week.
Okay. Essentially what happens, as the news posting says, you choose a person, you go pick up a personal item, bring it back, and then honor it. Now, was a little bit lacking in that area for me, because you just have to bring the item back and it's done. Whereas personally, I know it might have been nice to actually decorate the skulls yourself, rather than having the NPC do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I kind of wanted to do that when I did it, but I can see why they didn't do it that way. Kind of makes it harder, and it's a little bit...
glitchy?
Yeah, glitchy. Make it more glitchy, potentially. So there are 5 people that you can choose from to honor. First one's being the Zamorak cultist from the Blood Pact quest. Second being the Void Knights from the Pest Control Island. Third, being a drunken dwarf. Fourth, fight pit warriors, somebody who is attempting to complete the fight pits, of course. And Duradel, probably the most significant of them all. So, not really much special. The Zamorak cultist needs a Zamorakian statuette. The Void Knight needs a Void Knight seal. The Drunken Dwarf needs a beer and kebab. There was a funny thing with the Drunken Dwarf. They were making it as the dwarf was actually dead. But then, like, they're leading it up because, you know, you don't see these anymore. So then another Drunken Dwarf appears. So it was a way to just celebrate one Drunken Dwarf dead. So we are sure that our favorite drunken dwarves who will give us beer and kebabs are indeed still living by the fact that beer's here.
Should we also kill all the trolls? I mean, we did kill a lot of trolls back in the day.
Yeah, but humans don't care about trolls. I know I don't care about trolls. Even the online type.
Well, we did kill their queen. I'm pretty sure someone's bound to be angry at Mudskipper Island for, you know, killing their troll queen and all that stuff.
I mean, I'm sure we could split the troll quest off into something like that that has ramifications based on what we know as an online troll, which would be interesting, but probably would diverge too much from the lore.
Yes. We should honor the dead bots.
Oh, yeah. Well, they don't need to be honored. That's what bots
are
used for.
Oh, no. We should, you know, light some incense for them to show that they were, you know, turning their ashes into something useful. You know, their pixels will be recycled to bring out random events to annoy other people.
Let's not remember that the guy last week died because his incense was poison.
Well, dang it. Well, remember, that was one occasion, man. Gotta respect other cultures.
Yeah, well, we just gotta be careful what we're using here, so.
Oh, well, it's just anyways. A stick that's lit. That's pretty much it.
Back on track. The Fight Pit Warrior requires a fire cape. And Duradel requires his claws. The most interesting one for me was Duradel, of course, because he died during Wel'Guthic sleeps, and Curadel actually appears, and the two who survived the battle with us in Wel'Guthic sleeps.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was very interesting. Glad we could honor him.
Yes, yes. He was the best one in the game. Until we decided to try and ambush Lucien and failed miserably.
Lucien Bouchard? No.
Somehow, I want to say yes, but I fear that last name is going to bite me in the butt.
Google him. So, once you honor all five, you get double XP multipliers for your prayer training. So, if you honor all five, you get an extra 251,000 additional XP, and it goes up accordingly based on that. So it's definitely worth doing if you have plan on training prayer. And this can be used at the Ectofungus, POH Galters, Ghasts, Burying Bones, Scattering Ashes, and Cremating Shades or Vire Watch.
And it also counts with Bone Crusher, which is great for Hunter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can put on that little thing and go hunting with the Bone Crusher and you get... What?
But would you really want to use the Bone Crusher with it?
Well, if you're not going to train prayer any other way, unless you plan to use the altar a lot, which, I guess,
the same amount of bonus. It's not time. So
well,
the Bone
the
Crusher
thing,
would
so.
Work. Okay, sure. All right. So you do need certain requirements for all these. Each one requires a different thing. First one being blood pact. Second one being 20 prayer, 40 combat. The dwarf, 40 prayer, my arms, big adventure. Fight pits, 60 prayer, and the elder kiln. And Duradel, 80 prayer, and while Gothic sleeps.
Wow, that's a lot of prayer, dude.
Yeah.
We have to pray for the poop.
I see.
Yes. You realize we would be in trouble if we do have to pray for the Pope to get into heaven. Okay. Shane doesn't get it. All right.
Yeah,
let's move on, Shane.
I'm sorry. Yeah, so aside from this, it's a nice little event, but personally I'd like to have seen a bit more customization on the coloring of the skulls, but that's about it.
Okay, so not much on with this one anymore, so you just want to move on to tweaks and fixes.
Yeah, I think so.
So let's see, all Algahart bankers now face south. I never realized they were facing the other way, but then again, the place is so small anyway. I feel claustrophobic in Alcahard now.
Yeah, me too, actually.
I think they should have at least made it more... I mean, it's supposed to be a desert in the middle of a desert with the water, so I think they could have done a little bit better with that than making a mountain range. That really makes it annoying.
Yeah. Also... actually, we'll cover this one in a moment, so moving on. Animal antics out from Solomon's store now come with a matching premium hairstyle.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And changes have been made to the big Chinchampa, so higher level players now receive a 50% higher XP rate inside the actual lair, which is good, because the actual lair XP wasn't that great. Branches no longer spawn with moths that you don't have the level to catch. That's very nice, too. And certain rewards have been made cheaper. You'll also earn 5 times the XP when trading in your points for XP at the shop.
Yay! More XP, always good.
Yeah, so I think this just went from a Hunter D&D that you do if you have free time to a Hunter D&D that you'll do if you see it for sure.
We should really kill that beach and champa and hang it on our wall. I'll get myself another head.
Well, it's too big to put on your wall, Tracky.
I'll put it on the roof. I don't care. Hey, I got a freaking dungeon. Why don't I put the head in a dungeon and fill it around with blood wine, and then I'll make it look like a scary monster about to leap out at you.
Blood wine?
Yes, blood wine.
I see.
Yeah, just mix in a little bit of pig blood, we'll throw in some red wine in it, and then put in a little bit of salt to kind of start coagulating a little bit. Makes great artifact.
So blood wine.
Yes.
Like Klingon blood wine?
No, I said pig's blood with red wine.
Oh, okay.
Or in this case, it wouldn't be red cherry. Regular wine, then. What? The alcohol access is disinfectant, too.
Yeah, that's
the blood
true.
Nice and clean.
So it would be healthy enough to drink, then?
Yeah, if you want to drink it, by all means. But if you get sick, it's not my fault. I didn't tell you to drink it. I bet someone's going to try that now.
Yeah, which... we don't want to be responsible for if they try it in real life.
Oh, I bet someone's already tried it before. All right, let's see. So,
crows no longer get stuck when wandering around the Draenor market.
Let's see which one is. Ranging guild cars now sound human when attacked. I wonder what they sound like before this update.
I don't know. I haven't been there in such a long time, because you know that's one of the main hotspots with bots.
Well, I don't really think it was that big of a hotspot there.
Oh, it was.
The Ranging Guild.
Tons, yeah, the right. Ranging Guild.
Thinking of it up top, reading the one up above.
Okay.
Grand Exchange musician and then listen to and talk to options are no longer in the wrong way. And you can no longer claim multiple pieces of gold athlete set from Diango in a free-to-play world. Okay. I don't get it. But
Yeah, neither do I. One more before we move on here. All player-owned house portals now have the steps into the portal facing the right player. I wasn't aware there were even steps on the portals.
Beats me. Everybody just really just jumps into it anyway.
Exactly.
Only time, you know, I should really go back to my house and fix it up. Need to mow the lawn. A butler's been
lazy. Nice thing.
Mow the lawn should really be a construction skill.
Yep.
You know, make it like a little mini weekly event, and then you can
give you some farming XP
and construction XP because you are cleaning it up and paint the house and whatnot. Yeah, that should, all right, Jagex, you heard us. This really should be another D&D. Fix the house, clean the house, actually vacuum and sweep.
But that's what your butler's for.
Butler's lazy.
Okay.
Besides, usually people fire their butlers after they're done leveling up anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so Solomon's hair. New style.
You know what I'm going to do with all that hair? I want to tie him on to a ponytail and just yank on it. It's like, seriously, out of all the hair, you choose this one. Supposedly had someone here who had bought, I showed you a little conversation I had of someone who bought one of the packs, and we had a huge debate over the whole general store and stuff. What up?
Okay, so the hairstyles available include tribal braids, the flower of Laletia. Those are the two female ones. Then there's male ones. The spike trap, popular among our youthful customers, requiring attention to detail and good hair gel. And alternatively, they have the latest fashion trend from Piscataurus, the falcon claw.
You
buy
claw.
Any of these?
You know, I'm not buying any from the general store until they have a sale.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. And the only thing I'm probably going to get is probably the bank space. But I'll wait.
Yeah, that's probably the most useful. And, yes. You know, RuneScape hair really hasn't been an amazing thing in the past. So I really don't see the point in spending on hairstyles.
Oh, yeah. Well, then again, everybody gets covered once you put on your hat and helmet and everything else.
Yeah, that too.
They should really make it so that your hair stand, you know, sticks out of your helmet because you cut holes into it.
I had that before. I had a problem with my pith helmet, the graphical model, and you could see my hair sticking through my pith helmet. I just took a photo from the photo booth when that was happening. It's been fixed now, but I still have it on my adventures log if you guys want to go see.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, as a reminder, of course, everybody gets 200 free rune coins, and all members get a 10% discount on everything. So, in a way, they already are on sale for you.
Yes, but it's not really on sale.
Yeah, I understand that.
Getting 10% off is basically saying that, oh, out here, I'll just cancel a buck because the item is used.
So, let's talk about the receiving of our second promissory note and choose your fate.
So what did you pick?
I haven't picked one of the cards yet. I'm not sure which one I want to go for. The insta-kill darts seem really popular because apparently you can use them on Nex and it will take the entire stage out, both stages.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
that
I
is
know
true.
Someone posted on RuneWire, rsbnb.com, RuneWire, that they did actually get a drop from this. So,
mm-hmm. And also someone also posted that they sold a ring of wealth to somebody for 1 million gold because he forgot his. It's like, dang, I want to be over there when they're having these giant, you know, inflations. Shoot. I can't be selling glories because no one cares for glories at that time anyway. Shoot, I would love to be, but I think you have four chances to get something good.
Yeah. And there's the remote banking one, which is a bank deposit box for an hour, but that really doesn't seem that useful. I mean, you could set it up in the Living Rock Caverns and everything, but really, just so you don't have to run a bit more?
Well, in some places, it would be useful. The problem is, it's only there for one time for 1 hour.
Exactly.
Maybe they'll start selling this over at the general store. That would be interesting.
I don't know. I might just head on down to the Naxxer Queen Black Dragon and use an insta-kill dart on one of those and see what happens.
Well, also, think about this. If you're in like a clan event and you're going down there, it would be helpful to have a bank deposit. You're fighting monsters and you're about to die. What the hell? Let them take it. You either go there down there with like clan events and you bang all your stuff before you're about to die, or you actually got so much loot from having so many people there that you need the bank space. You need the inventory space.
Alright. So we also got the XP. Members who were members for September got 350k. People who were August and September got 700,000. Where'd you use yours?
My XP, I used it in summoning to get 89 so I can use the guide turn, and everything else back in prayer.
Okay.
So
good.
I'm close. I got 90 prayer. I basically have it. I just have to bury about like 10 dragon bones or so, and I got my 89 summoning.
Good. I put mine into dungeoneering, and I went from 75 to 80 dungeoneering by pushing a few buttons.
Hey, pushing your buttons.
Yep.
You like pushing my buttons, don't you, Shane? You just want to see just how far you can take me before I snap and come over there with a shotgun.
Yeah, we'll test that theory out later this month.
You really want me to come over with a shotgun? Maybe I should send another documentary for you to watch.
Probably not.
Yes, you would never watch it anyway.
Okay, so behind the scenes for October. Next week, actually, is the King Black Dragon update. And they also got a behind-the-scenes video for this showing some of the artwork and the animations and stuff. And they're actually going to be adding a way to quickly get to the King Black Dragon from Edgeville. But if you go the long way through the wilderness, you'll still receive the 10% damage, or you'll receive an additional 10% damage multiplier.
I'm pretty sure there's people are going to be camping there for a while.
Why? You're not going to get anything new. The only new thing they're adding, I think, is the ornamental kits.
Camping at the entrance to KBD.
Right.
Not camping at the dragon. I'm pretty sure we're going to get a nice group of people camping there. You know what we should really do just to take people off? Go over there with an inventory full of wheat.
Inventory full of wheat?
Yes. They would probably kill us. Thinking we have something over there, and all they'll get is wheat. I did that before. Back in RuneScape Classic, there was this group of people that went Ruby PKing, and I was just, exploring, and they just murdered me. So I went back there with my friends. We had nothing but inventories full of wheat. We just went back there and said, "You all are, beep 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 beep," and we got there. Of course, we all die. We call them hackers and everything else, and basically they got nothing but wheat.
That's funny.
Mm. Yes, I told them. Okay. I told them to go make a cake.
So, what do you think of this concept art for the King Black Dragon?
It's nice, but I'm wondering if the other heads will actually do something.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Speaking of the heads, I wonder if the QBD heads, or KBD, I don't know why I'm saying QBD, if the KBD heads that people already have in their player-owned houses are going to get an update.
Ooh. Uh-huh. I don't know. We'll see. I'm just thinking if it becomes different, I wonder what different things it would say.
Yeah, I don't know.
And is it like, have you seen my wife? My wife has been pretty angry with me ever since I kind of ticked her off. That's why I've been sleeping in this dungeon. She kicked me out of the house. I'm sure many, many, many men have gone through that problem.
Okay. So, also, as I was saying, with this ornamental kit, so that's good. Should be interesting to see how this all turns out. And they did say that they're modeling this after a dinosaur, because that's what they think their dragons look most like from real life. Dinosaurs.
Yeah, I guess so. If you were to try a model after a real animal, or kind of like a real...
Or some kind of animal that existed. Also this month, there will be dungeon updates for Taverly, Fremenic Slayer, Chaos Tunnels, and Brimhaven Dungeon.
Like, as a dungeon as a whole, or like complete makeover?
Yeah, complete makeovers. You know, this is kind of disappointing in a way.
Why?
Because the Taverly Dungeon, the Fremenic Slayer Dungeon, not so much the Chaos Tunnels, but the Brimhaven Dungeon... Those were all kinds of things that were so iconic when they came out, you know? Like, remember when the Metal Dragons came out, we got the entire Brimhaven Dungeon to go explore.
Yes, many dogs that did not like us.
Yeah, so we actually get to go there, and maybe the dogs will be somewhat useful this time now.
Oh, they were supposed to be, try to be anti-hiding, but that only lasted for a while. You know, kind of like hiding in the corner, stopping you from hiding in the corner, going with a helper and everything else. Of course,
it was to add risk into the dungeon.
Wasn't much of
And the Taverly dungeon, I wonder what they're going to do with that, because that thing hasn't changed since RS2 came out.
They'll probably make the Black Dragon lair, not Black Dragon,
bigger.
Black Knight lair a little bigger. Remember, on the other side, you have the Black Knights. That's a little mini secret fortress, which no one goes there unless they're either killing Black... Why keep saying Black Dragon? Either they're killing the Dark Knights, or the Black Knights, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, either they're going for that little, you know, achievement thing for how many Knights you've killed, or they're doing the quest.
Yeah.
I think they should really add more Knights over there. It's...
I remember when that area came out going down there, we used to say, put a few tables and chairs in here, this would be a good place for a meeting because it's such a big area. And, you know, there aren't that many private places like that that you can meet. So maybe they'll do something with it.
You can always meet at my house.
It's too liberal.
But, it's not little.
Liberal.
How is it liberal?
It's painted that way.
How is it painted that way? It's a house made of stone in the middle of a pixelated world, full of grass. I have a way to get to the... I have a throne room. How liberal is that supposed to be?
Just playing with you.
You really want me to grab... Screw that shotgun. You know what? I can probably go across the street, grab some... You know, grab that gun from Rambo. I could probably do some real damage to your house, Shane, all right? Or you just grab the 50 cal.
All right. Goblin mobs and goblin update this month as well. So the goblin mining sites are getting updated too.
Goblins. I wonder if they change the goblins near the fishing gun.
I don't know. They'll probably change the goblins all over the place and update the dungeon underneath the lumbered swamp. That's not what I'm guessing.
Maybe. Well, I'm curious. About goblin armor. Remember that little free-to-play quest?
Right.
That would be funny.
And they're also replacing another quest this month called What's Mine is Yours. It's replacing Doric's quest. It'll retain the theme, of course, but expand on the plot into something more grand.
Which one was Doric?
Doric was the dwarf by the Taverly entrance into the members' world.
The fishing competition. I knew that sounded familiar.
No. It was on the free-to-play side.
To Members World? There wasn't any to Members World.
No. Doric's anvil is right next to the door into the Members side, you know?
Oh, the follow door one. You said Taverly,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah. Well, the same kind of thing, same area.
You say follow door, man.
It's Taverly to me because it's closer there. But That'll be interesting to see, because it's also another one of those ones with low-level requirements. But of course, there'll be some post-quest stuff like we had with the last one that'll give 13,000 mining and 48,000 smithing XP. You'll also be the proud owner of a GoFanon amulet that awards double XP when mining or smithing up to a total of 144,000 double XP. That's nice.
You're really going kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, they got to replace all the bonus XP weekend stuff, you know?
Yeah, but I don't care for... I don't want to go mining, dude.
I do. I want to get 90 mining, but that's a topic for later. The Halloween event will be haunted houses, something that I think we've been talking about for years.
Yes. They should really let you do that with the player owned houses. Basically, yeah, I think the one thing they should try and do is they have all the data, so kind of like grab different houses from different people and start having like a little trick or treat thing.
Maybe.
Or better yet, I think they should have do a little Halloween competition, send in the picture of how your house looks like, and maybe we'll use it for haunted house stuff.
Oh yeah, there's a good idea. You know, yeah. I'm glad they're finally returning to Halloween-based things on this, because if you remember last year's Halloween update, it had to do with the Citadel, which really, in my view, wasn't a full emphasis on Halloween. It was more about promoting the Clan Citadels.
Pumps and ghouls of every place. Wouldn't you like to see something strange in
the Okay, you can stop.
Oh, come on, Shane, line up. Can't diss at Tim Burton.
Also, there will be dual arena tweaks this month, so specifically cleaning up the interface is a couple new features like a rematch button and making it easier to organize a revenge bout, and a function that saves your favorite settings. October seems like a good month.
I won't say it's a good month till we finally finish the biohazard.
That's not coming until either later next year or sometime in... 2014 at the earliest, I'm sorry.
I know. By that time, we'd probably be quitting playing this game and, I don't know, playing Star Trek Online 2 or something. I don't know. Or maybe
whatever happens, we do need to do that quest when it comes out, no matter when it might be.
Or maybe I'll end up having a child. I shall call it Mini Shane.
You sure about that?
Oh, yes, I'm dead sure. I shall call it
okay.
Mini Shane. And then every time they say something conservative, I can smack them and I say, because I'm your dad.
Okay, wow. Lots of anger there. Moving on, RuneCats competition. So if you guys are listening to this on the weekend and you do have a cat running around your house, Jagex is running a competition via Twitter called RuneCats. Essentially, all you need to do is post a picture of your cat somewhere, somehow, and send it to either Maud Jane and Paul M on Twitter. And then with that, just use the hashtag RuneCats and include your cat. There'll be prizes for the best cat photos, maybe something for their owners too. And as cats aren't for everyone, there's a generic I don't have a cat category as well.
Why don't you tell Mike to do this?
Yeah, maybe I will, but he doesn't tweet, so.
So, just use can take the picture and tweet it for him and make it part of RSBNB. RSBNB cat.
Yeah, sure. He has two of them.
I don't have
so
a
which
cat.
Which one? I was going to say you could dress Penny up.
No.
Okay.
Let's see. Which one is the meaner one?
They're not very mean cats.
Okay, which one is more agitatable?
I don't know. I'm allergic to the thing, so I really don't take an interest in them.
Alrighty, fine.
Anyways, that's it for RS News this week, so we're going to move on to questions. We only got one audio question this week, so it'd be nice to have another live show soon. So if anybody out there does want to send us an audio question, please do that. If we get 5 of them in a week, the next week's show will be live, so just keep that in mind. Email them to questions@rsbnb.com. phone them into the Google Voice number 571-572-2632, or leave us a voicemail on Skype. And with that being said, here's the audio question this week from Muramska.
Hi, host. Muramska here. This week, I'd like to ask a tech question. I'm just looking to buy a monitor for my PC, and I was looking at the sizes, and they all support the same resolution. So, you know, a 20-inch and a 24-inch, what's the big difference with them? That does though 4 inches make a big difference? Anyway, thank you for the show. And damn you, Shane, now I'm hopped on Star Trek Next Gen. What's that noise?
Okay. Yes, Muramska, I'm cutting that off there. And I'm glad you're hooked on Star Trek The Next Generation. It's a good TV series.
Yes. Now get hooked on Star Wars, and I'll be happy too.
Okay, so computer monitors. What's the difference between a 20 and a 24-inch that has the same screen real estate? It really comes down to pixel size. So what happens is, in a monitor that's 1920 by 1080, it's as simple as picturing a grid of pixels 1920 wide by 1080 tall. Now, in order to fit them into a certain screen size, whether it be 20 inches, 23 or 24 inches, or even 27 inches, what happens is, as you go smaller, to a 20-inch, for example, your pixel size decreases. As you go bigger, your pixel size increases. So, for example, if you have a 24-inch at 1080p, which is the example you gave, everything on the screen will appear a little bit bigger than the 20-inch does. You might like bigger pixels. You might like smaller pixels. Personally, myself, I like smaller pixels. If you have bad eyesight, you'd probably like the bigger pixels. And this is actually measured by something that's called dot pitch. And if you Google for dot pitch calculator, you can actually play around and you'll see what the dimensions of your screen are, diagonal and the horizontal and vertical pixels. It'll give you a dot pitch and PPI, which is points per inch. Now, for comparison, back in the olden days, 72 DPI was called the classic screen DPI for web. That means that for every inch of screen space up or down, there will be 72 pixels, which is relatively low. Typically, for print, the best print DPI is roughly about 300 DPI, so you need to definitely, you would definitely notice an increase in quality there. So, for instance, let's say you have your 1920 by 1080 monitor at 24 inches, and you calculate the PPI of that, that's 91 PPI. Now, if you go down to 20 inches, like you were saying, that takes you up to 110 DPI. So in theory, you should get a little bit better picture quality, assuming the screen panel itself is of good quality. Your images will just appear crisper. And this is what Apple means by a retina display. For instance, on the iPhone 4 that I have, it has a screen resolution of 960 by 640 at 4 inches. So calculating that DPI gives us a DPI of roughly 288. The iPad, which has a screen resolution of 2048 by 1536 at 10 inches, gives us a PPI of 256. So you can see, as you cram more pixels in, the PPI goes up, which results in a better image quality. So if you want something bigger but aren't exactly concerned about image quality, go for the larger screen. If you want something that maybe looks a bit more crisp and you can handle the smaller pixels, go for the smaller size if you don't mind having a smaller display.
I actually like my 22-inch monitor, although I would like to have a start dual screening, but can't spend the money rather than right now. It's very useful when you're on RS and you need to look up guides or something else.
The sweet spot for displays is 23 inches, give or take.
While we're on the subject of monitors, want to kind of briefly go over what's the refresh rates and all that are supposed to mean?
Well, refresh rates don't matter as much nowadays as they used to. Back in the olden days of CRT monitors, which some of you out there might be running, but if you are, definitely upgrade to an LCD. Your eyes will thank you. A CRT monitor would run at a certain refresh rate. For example, 60 hertz was deemed good. There were other monitors that could run at 72, 75, and even 85 hertz, which, of course, provided a more fluid image, which was excellent for gaming. And that's why some gamers and designers actually still swear by CRT-based monitors for that and the color reproduction. But with LCD, refresh rate doesn't really matter, because LCDs usually refresh at a constant 60 hertz per second. But the difference between an LCD refresh and a CRT refresh is that a CRT is refreshing all the time, whereas an LCD refresh only refreshes when that portion of the screen needs to be updated. So you're not exactly seeing the refresh rate like you would at 60 hertz on a CRT. But with that being said, 120 hertz is coming into play, especially for TVs, even 240 hertz. It's going to be like HD. Can you see the difference between 1080p and 720p? Some people can, some people can't. So that's where we're going next with display technology.
Cool.
So, anything else that you'd like to know about monitors while we're on this?
No, I'm good.
Be a good expansion. Okay.
Oh, go HDMI. Once you go HDMI, you can't go back.
Yeah. Definitely use the HDMI or DVI connectors if you have them, because it's a pure digital signal and you won't get any of the distortion that you get with VGA. You won't have any V-Sync issues. It's just a really much nicer picture.
Yes, I actually saw a difference when a couple years ago I bought that new monitor and you told me I should get a DVI cable.
Mm-hmm.
I really did see a big difference between, especially when I was typing out my papers. So I did VGA, and then next day I bought the DVI, and I literally did see the text and everything else being a whole lot clearer. It wasn't very blurry as it was before.
Yeah, and you know the thing is that some monitors still strangely only ship with a DVI or a VGA cable, which is pretty bad in my view.
Well, I think by the time if you're monitor shopping again, you're probably not your first choice, not your first time. You know, most people already
have one.
You should
have a DVI cable by now.
Oh yes, I do have a DVI. I'm waiting until I get some decent cash flow coming in so that I can change some of the stuff on my computer.
I'll recommend you a good one.
Ah, mostly the sound card. Need to replace the sound card. I think it's blown.
Oh, okay. That might help.
Yeah, especially on my laptop, that thing's gone. you swear by it, don't you, Shane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty, you can read the next question.
Oh, great. Thank you. All right, this question is from Slaver of Palor. Hi, Trigon Evil Romney supporter. Wink, wink. I have just started getting into farming. I'm currently level 44, and I'm looking for an easy method of training the farming skill while making a reasonable profit. Any suggestions? And I was wondering, what combat level did you get your first 99? Sorry for so many questions, but Treggy, have you ever played Dungeons and Dragons? If so, what do you think? From Devoted Slave Apollo, or otherwise known as Comrade Weird. Yes, you are indeed weird.
Okay, first off, It's a big thing to call someone an evil Romney supporter. I don't call people evil Obama supporters. If you're going to call anybody evil, you should call somebody who supports Hitler, an evil Hitler supporter. But I wouldn't call anybody evil supporters of any certain person in this day and age. So let's just think about that.
What about Kony 2012?
that was totally different. I think that's dead now and that thankful that happened.
Yes, yes.
Bunch of sheep.
Well, right. We said this before when at first people were starting asking questions, everybody's going to forget about it in about a week, and we were right.
Yep. So farming, you're level 44, easy method of training while making a reasonable profit. Okay. So the the best way of doing this is to, of course, use your maples and maybe even willows, because those are the cheapest, but it's not exactly the fastest. You can, if you work hard enough, offset the cost of buying your tree seeds by herb farming. So it's a matter of doing that, and maybe also farming some of the other allotments that are sought after. So, for example, the mushrooms, not the bitter cap mushrooms.
Felstock?
What are the... Yeah, no, the Felstock is a herb. I'm trying to think of what the mushroom is called that you use in the, that potion.
Let me double check. It is the...
Marchella
mushroom. Marchella.
Yeah,
oh, there's
so,
a seed there.
Yeah, those kind of things that people need and are always in demand, those are the kind of things you want to farm as a bit of extra. So that, cactus spines, and of course, herbs. And what I recommend doing is heading back to earlier this year at update.rsbnb.com and using the side navigation to open the RSBnb update focus section, and in there find the farming focus. And in there we basically go through farming. It's the farming spiel. It's documented, and there hasn't been an update to farming yet this year, so you might as well just go listen to that, and that has everything you need to know about farming. But I did provide a bit of an insight there. Oh, and also use the RSBnb Grand Exchange portfolio on here. You can use that to easily see, yes, my toad flax is currently at 33.39 per herb, while the maple seed is 26K, so how many of those would I need to sell in order to fund a maple seed, that kind of thing. So,
herbs are mostly always the one that pays you back in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah, for example here, 3,300 roughly per seed, let's just, or per toad flax, and you get 7 per, and you do that 5 runs. So you make 115K, assuming, well, minus, well, 110K minus the seed price, give or take. So that, so 100, let's just say 110K minus 26,000 times 5 for the maple seed. So if you were doing maples, 26,000 times 5 is roughly 130K. So in one farming run, potentially you can offset the cost of all of your maple seeds for the day. So do 2 farming runs, you can fund your maple seeds for the day. So that is how you do farming.
Yes, and you know, do remember, don't stay in one patch. You really have to go around all 5 if you can. That's,
yes.
Although the troll one would be hard, considering you need to do a quest to do that one first. Which I don't know what your current combat level is, so you know, could go either way. But that, you know, just so you know, that herb patch, you will not. That one will never ever die. So if you really want
to
make some money,
that's
just the
best
most
place
expensive
to plant
one.
Toad flax. I mean, Torstal.
Mm-hmm. Because that one is guaranteed to survive no matter what. It's part of the game mechanic, and it's, you know, not also again not too sure what other levels you have, but do you remember there are 2 dungeoneering scrolls that actually help you with farming? The ones that can get your seed back if it dies. You have a chance of doing it, and a couple other scrolls also great for herbalore if you're planning on doing those. I always make a little extra money from when I from my my islands. I put them into waterfill vials and I sell them for a slightly higher price.
You're always looking for ways to make money like that.
Well, hey, considering you get extra extra herbs when you're putting into the vial, I'm not complaining.
Yeah. Okay.
And
I don't remember what level I got, what combat level I was when I got 99 farming.
I believe mine was attack. What combat level?
That was your
level?
First 99?
Well, no, first 99 was cooking. That was the, my first one. I don't know that one
what
because I went...
What was your combat level when you got that?
Let's see. 107-ish?
Okay.
No, let's see. Yeah, it should be around 107. That's when I did the... swan songs. I was wrong. That level is usually when you were when you do it.
Yeah, I remember the level 107 requirement for the. Or no, never mind. That was 107 quest points. Sorry.
let's see. And Dragon, have I ever played Dungeons and Dragons? Yes, I have. And I usually suck at it because the laws of probability never works with me. So Shane doesn't never play Dungeons and Dragons, but let's just say when I have to roll, two d six or two d seven or two d five, whatever it is, try roll an attack, attack roll, I would always get the lowest one, no matter what. My law of probability never worked for me, and so I would actually fail miserably every single time, and. I usually like to play the healer because it's just I'm always kind of neutral good, and that's pretty much it.
Why didn't you make a healer in Stowe?
I did make a healer in Stowe. I just decided that I didn't want to fly like a whale with the Odyssey
cruiser. Oh,
yes,
okay.
I like to. I actually like being able to, you know, see what's under me.
Alrighty. Thank you. I wanted to call you evil somebody supporter, but I don't know who you support, so I can't. So it's just time to move on to the next question now. Next one's from Veteran. I was just wondering if rugby is a popular sport in Canada, since I've been playing it for about 1 year now for my school. We're not too bad, but yeah. Anyways, now, other than farming, how else can I make money on RuneScape that isn't boring? I get bored when it comes to the usual combat. Now, the usual grind of skills. Okay, he has a link to his adventures log. If not, then just search overhead kick. But anything that is unorthodox and still makes good money would be greatly appreciated. Also, what's your opinion on EOC? Me, myself, I think it's underrated. I'm going to miss the old combat system once it's gone.
Overrated.
And will you be buying Borderlands 2? And if you played Borderlands, what was your opinion?
Okay, I'll start from the
bottom. You shave your hair now?
Yes, I made a little comment in the friend chat that if I can get more questions in, I will shave my hair. My facial hair. Yes.
Oh,
I don't like too bad. Asians don't work with mustaches.
Yeah, that's true. Unless it's really long ones, you know?
Yes, unless it's the goatee. That only works when you're around like 80 years old and it's pure white. Or you could pull off like a
or
George Lamb.
Or you're a gang member.
No, not really. George Lamb doesn't really works has a mustache that works for him. He's a famous actor in China. But let's see. Start from the bottom really quick. Have I ever played Borderlands 1? Yes, I did. I did not like it because it was run by GameSpy, and GameSpy is horrible for
multiplayer. Oh, yeah, that was another horrible thing about that.
And I have no interest in getting Borderlands 2 because I just don't care for it.
Yeah, same probably for me. I tried one, but I just couldn't get into it. I don't know why.
GameSpy is just horrible for any multiplayer thing.
Yeah, it used to be okay when it ran Star Trek Armada. So,
I never played Armada.
To the top then. Rugby, yeah. Popular in Canada. I don't really hear much about it, and I'm not aware that many schools have rugby teams, so we really don't hear about that here. So, I can't really comment on that. But, this next question is something I've been asking myself, too. Not necessarily just to make money, but just something that isn't, boring until the Evolution of Combat comes out, because I am actually looking forward to that. So, I think this might be something that we get as a symptom of liking farming, in that we expect other skills to be not as grindworthy as farming is, because anybody who's listening to this will probably, or anyone who's listening who does farming in any substantial quantity, will probably agree with me that farming is not a grindish skill, which is why I like it so much. And I wish there were other things like this to do in RuneScape, but I'm not really sure what there is at this point. And, like, especially for money-making, I'm not sure. So, I mean, most of the money-making, unfortunately, comes from combat activities. So that's kind of disappointing. Other non-grindworthy things. Pyramid Plunder. That was something I always enjoyed when I was training thieving. It was always much better, in my opinion, than running out to pickpocket guards and everything. And I guess on that same wavelength, Runespan is kind of the same thing as well, in that you just go there and you sit for a while and you get the runes with that. So they've been adding a few non-grindworthy things like that, but I'm really not sure if there's any way to that's not grindworthy that you can make money in the game. I mean, you could, of course, play the market and work with the Grand Exchange, so that's an option, but some people don't like doing that. Personally, whenever I need money, I just do a bit of combat and hope for something good from the clue scrolls, which is kind of grindworthy, but the clue scrolls aren't. It's just the process of getting the clue scroll. So, what about you? Do you think you have any non-grindworthy money-making methods?
Non-grindworthy way to make money. Non-grindworthy. Everything is flipping, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah, so flipping is
and
the
that's
fastest.
That's what I said too. So,
to be honest, if you really want to make quick dollars, quick bucks with flipping, and be very, very safe, go with spirit shards. They're always easy to flip.
Oh yeah, I got. I put in an offer in the exchange for spirit shards at 5 GP each. I got 10,000 of them, so that's an amazing flip right there.
I don't know how at you least, got that.
I don't know, but that's at least I make four times the money back from that.
The way I do it is from making glories. Oh, I had a great week with glories. Man, I made so much money.
That's kind of grindworthy, though. Or that's kind of grindish, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, it's something I can do when I don't want to do anything. And yeah, it's been a good week. I'll talk more when we get to what we've been doing, but yeah, it's been a really good week of glories for me.
All right, so what do we think of the EOC?
I like the EOC. I just think, you know, there's still some things they can do to improve it, mostly the interface, and I would like them to make the give us 12 or 5, I can't remember how many skill bars they gave us. I think it was 5, right?
Yes, 12.
12? Okay.
Or no, 5. So five different ones. 5 different ones at 12.
Yeah, so I would like to have a little bit more of those. And I really, really look forward to people really sharing the builds that they've come up with.
Yep.
That's what I really, really, really wish RSVMB would really work at is let's all get together and just like, all right, let's see what works and what doesn't. And, you know, what works with monsters, what works with PvP, what works with PvE, what works with, you know, boss runs, what works with, like, general, I'm just, you know, doing non-combat related skills, what works with Slayer, what works with, you know, massive amount of, because remember, everything there is multi-combat.
Yep.
And which is why one reason they're really cracking down on bots, because, you know, let's face it, multi-combat with bots would be a nightmare. And same thing with the co-op Slayer, you know. I mean, think about this, though. If people are doing co-op Slayer, you're able to find a way to do AoE damage with, you know, killing 5 monsters or what? Can you imagine how fast co-op Slayer would get?
Yep. So overall, I mean, I'm very happy about it. And we're actually going to be doing a podcast on this nature sometime this month regarding the EOC. And we're going to try and convince more of you that it's actually a good thing out there, because I know there are still lots of skeptics.
Well, from what I've heard is that most people are the lazy type and don't want to.
Yeah, and you also got the types who just don't like change and are looking for something to complain about.
You know, do keep in mind that in last big patch, they introduced a new ultimate skill where you could literally AFK Slayer. They basically said that your damage will be like tripled and all that other good stuff for 10 minutes or so, as long as you don't press any other buttons. So you can still AFK train, and as I said, I'm looking forward to, you know, doing some co-op things with Shane, which we still need to do the dragon thing you're on about. Do some co-op Slayer and just, like, blow through them in about, like, you know, like 20 minutes.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I'm waiting to do combat until this update comes out, and why I'm trying to find something to do in the meantime. Because, you know, mining is good, but it's not exactly the most thrilling thing to do.
Mining. I could never stand mining.
Exactly. So, thank you, Veteran, for those questions. Moving on to the next one from Duke Juker. So, this week was the big presidential debate. Did you guys watch any of it? Who do you think won the debate? Will Romney's liking Big Bird be the turning point of this election? Perhaps he'll snag some of the younger vote. Duke Juker. So did you watch it?
No, I didn't. It was playing when I was still at college, when I was still on in Southern School. I was finishing some last-minute homework and all that good stuff, so I didn't catch it. I listened to the end of it on the radio, based on what people were at when they were analyzing it. So I didn't have a chance to watch it. All I really know is, Obama never really looked up, and I'm going to let you finish. And don't forget to smile. And Big Bird. I was like, what the heck is Big Bird? Certainly, like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the Big Bird moment was great. This came at a time when I was talking about cutting to save money. Essentially, the line was that if the program is not worth borrowing money from China from, it will be cut back a bit. And he said, this includes things like PBS. And he said, yeah, I'm a fan of Big Bird, too. So the Big Bird moment was great. And, of course, this whole thing turns into, but really does, you have to ask yourself, really, does a TV station need taxpayers' money?
And there's so many other TV stations out there doing it locally just funded. Fine. It's usually locally funded.
Sure, but still.
Well, let's see. There's one other little thing was, you think he'll snag some of the younger voters? Well, to be honest,
no.
Not getting that yet, but just saying, I bet 99.95 of us already made up our minds who we're going to vote for about, 4 years ago.
Well, there's undecided people too.
That's where the 0.05 comes in. And, most of them probably made up their mind within the last, last couple months or so. Everybody's watching this now. It's either, if you like Obama, of course he won. If you don't like Obama, Romney won. So,
I don't know about that. I think it was fairly unanimous across all.
I know, but, do realize that anybody biased or one way or another will always make something up that, he was tired, he was arrogant, he was stupid, he was blah, 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 and the other guy was better.
Did you know that Al Gore
because...
blamed the altitude? Al Gore blamed the altitude of Colorado?
Meh. Whoever knows, he's been a little up there with the whole global warming. He's probably been handling a little bit too much.
Yeah, we've been telling you guys this for years,
Yeah, and let's not get into global warming. I'm going to kill you, Shane, if we do. But, the other thing is also realize that there hasn't been a presidential debate where one side didn't really win over the other.
Well, no, typically what happens is it turns out that it's even.
Basically the thing is that, a couple of years ago, when during the Gore versus Bush, there's always that one moment that everyone talks about, during the Gore versus Bush debate, it was the whole, Al Gore was saying, I'll try to fix this and that, and then George Bush supposedly, can't remember what if he said this correctly or not, but like, we're going to fix things, a calculator. And people got a little angry with him. I can't remember that was what his exact line was. And then during the Kerry and Bush debate, and there was the, Bush budge in the back of his shirt. And then during the Sarah Palin with Joe Biden, Joe Biden basically looked down just like Obama did every single time, and Sarah Palin was nervous as heck. And you could tell by her body language because she's breathing really, really hard.
Yeah, next week's is going to be interesting with Paul Ryan and Biden.
Yes.
I think I know who's going to win that one.
No comment. And let's see, who do you think won the debate?
Well, we just talked about that.
And perhaps you snag one of the younger voters. Everybody already made up their minds already, so it's really not going to... These last-minute things really just to listen with the other guys.
I think it'll budget a bit.
With only one month.
If anything,
month.
Make it closer. One month is a long time.
Oh, we'll never know. We'll find out in a month.
Yeah, we're going to have to make some predictions on that.
And here we go again. So it's basically going to come down whoever gets Florida. That's usually what it comes down to. Whoever gets Florida kind of always has a really, really good shot of. Yeah. And basically after that, it's basically everybody else falls into place. No one cares about California.
Well, sometimes. But it depends. We'll have to play around with the map later on and share some of our stuff in the last week before. Let's see, what week's that going to be? That'll be our November 2nd show. We'll be talking about this. Okay.
And, basically, everybody comes to California for fundraising anyway. No one really cares about us.
Well, yeah, you guys are pretty set in your ways, so.
Yeah, well, Romney likes to come here for money. Obama likes to come here for money. I don't think Obama's ever come to Texas for money, at least not much. What you think, like, we're supposed to, California's supposed to be in a deficit. It's funny we can spend so much money on you guys, too. Like, yeah, I'll buy $100,000 per plate for your fundraiser. Why don't you all just take all the $100,000 to pay for the fundraiser and help us get us out of this? Wouldn't that be great?
It doesn't work that way.
Oh, come on, Shane.
We're going to move on now.
That's what Mr. Buffett said a while back.
All right, tech news. Do you remember Project Fiona?
Refresh my... Oh, yes, Razer.
That's Razer's gaming tablet with an integrated gamepad. So it is real, and it's actually going to be shipping. It'll ship with Windows 8.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's what'll be interesting. Oh, this makes it interesting.
Have a look at the picture. It looks strange.
Yes, I've seen it before during the E3, but I don't know. I don't like the idea of the controllers like that. I mean, you're gonna have a hard time putting it somewhere decently. But
yeah, question is, how big is that screen gonna be?
I think
because if you're using Windows, you're gonna want at least 7-inch.
I think it was 10. Yeah, 10-inch.
Okay. That's pretty big then.
You
take a 10-inch.
Yeah, so right here, it could apparently play Skyrim smoothly at high settings on its 10.1-inch 1280x800 display. And we talked about this before. I posted this many times on the forum. That thing looks nice, but it's expensive!
How much?
What was it? I can't remember, like, couple. I know it's in the four-digit range.
Oh, okay.
Let me see. I probably take it back.
I don't see much point in this myself because you already have the gaming tablets, Android and iPad tablets can play these games, and they are more intuitive because they use the touch interface rather than physical buttons, and they're cheaper too. And same thing, you can scale this down to an iPod, an iPhone, or an Android phone. So I don't exactly see the point in this myself.
Well, the whole point of this is to get all the hard... It's supposed to design for one thing, the hardcore gamer. That's the whole freaking point of
this.
And
I guess that's the same thing with the Razer name behind it, right?
Yeah, well, Razer stuff is always super expensive anyway. But, the other thing about this is that it... Let's see... The other thing is, I don't know how people are actually going to be playing video games 24/7 walking down the street playing Skyrim, but I could be wrong. I never know. Someone's probably bound to do it, but maybe this will, wouldn't it be interesting to be able to play RuneScape on that tablet like that?
Yeah, it would.
More intuitive controls because you have the joystick and number and keypads and whatnot.
You know, that's going back to the 90s, and in my view, that's not the way things need to go.
You just want to, you want voice command, don't you?
No, I'm fine with touch. Voice is a ways off, and the question is, what will the world sound like if everyone's talking to their computers? Like, it's fine for in your car at home, but in the public, I think touch is the best way to go.
Well,
until we get eye tracking.
That's iffy. Let's see, but
anyways, this next story. This next story is interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
University of Alabama is working on a new fusion engine that could cut travel time to Mars down to 6 weeks. Researchers at the University of Huntsville in Alabama say they're using...
Go ahead.
dilithium crystals, and a new fusion impulse engine that could cut the travel time down to Mars to as little as 6 weeks, which it currently takes 6 months. A PhD candidate at the University of Alabama says that the fusion fuel we're focusing on is deuterium, a stable isotope of hydrogen, and Li6, a stable isotope of the metal lithium in a crystal structure. That's basically dilithium crystals. So essentially, this will create a super fast engine. Of course, military will get first dibs on it, and then it'll, of course, trickle down to NASA. So, definitely interesting to see something like this. And you open up the inner solar system so much more if you could set up something like this. So, imagine the time it would take to travel to the moon on something like this. That could be a routine trip.
Well, in a way, yes. Well, we just had the shuttle last week. So, but the other thing is, I remember was a week last week or 2 weeks before, we actually said the whole thing about that warp travel. It's not theoretically impossible because of the energy problem. In theory, you can cut down if you build the ship and engines and whatnot a certain way. You can actually get more bang for the buck. So throw in that with this, and you know, just imagine we would actually have warp drive.
And a little starship, too, for sublight travel.
All we need to figure out is artificial gravity, and we're all good. And how not to blow up if a tiny asteroid rips through the rips through the planet.
Oh,
and,
yeah, we need the structural integrity field.
Yes, and how would we actually be able to get from Earth to space without doing the whole three-section motor, because, you know, it takes a lot of power and energy to lift something very, very tiny into space.
Yeah. So, well, in theory, you could apply the same principle here, because being impulse-based, it would work on the ground, too, I assume. Because they say the initial application would be to develop or to deliver military payloads faster.
I hope they can deliver it accurately, too. Had some problems with it.
And they also mentioned what you just said here, that this would need to be assembled in space, like the International Space Station. So,
because there's really, you know, just I can't remember what it was. How much did it cost to? I know it was some really big amount. So for every pound that you're bringing to space, it costs yay amount of money. I remember it was like that number.
Yeah,
was huge.
I don't remember what it was, but that just meant that the shuttle missions were really expensive back in the day.
But, you know, a lot of the stuff we brought back actually was very beneficial scientifically and economically.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, we have a pen that can actually write in zero gravity. Yay!
A what?
A pen that can write in zero gravity.
Oh, really? They sent one up?
They've always had one. It was made... there was an article a while back where someone says NASA spent a amount of money making a pen that can work in space, which in fact it was not true. It was private companies thinking, hey, we could probably, you know, do this just to see if we
pen.
Could do it.
You said pen, P-E-N, right?
Yes. What do you think I say?
I thought you said panda.
Yeah, if we sent a panda into space, China would nuke somebody. They really do love their pandas. Especially Panda Express.
Okay.
Isn't that a
food place?
Yes, Chinese fast food. It's not really Chinese food, it's just meat and salt.
Yeah, that's right.
There will be
dilithium mining after all.
Shane, I look forward to going to the moon. Would you come with me?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Just do me a favor, when we're getting close to the moon, stay by the airlock.
Alrighty, moving on. You can now pay to have a status update promoted on Facebook. So this guy was running along, he made a post on Facebook about the war between Syria and Turkey, or the potential of it, and he noticed a little link next to his post. It said like, comment, and promote. So he clicks it, and he clicks the promote button in there, and it says now you can promote posts and move your important news, links, and photos higher in the news feed. This post will be marked as sponsored. So, for people in the U.S., they can pay for personal pages, non-businesses, to have them promoted. It started rolling out back in May to 20 countries, starting with New Zealand. And this is the first appearance in the U.S. And you can pay with credit card or PayPal, and it costs you $7 to promote a post. Now, you and I were talking about this before pre-show, and we said maybe this is Facebook's attempt at trying to make money because we know you can't monetize drunken pictures. And then it even has a breakdown later on how many views, 27% regular views and 73% paid views. So what do you think? Do you think people would actually use this?
Yes. Especially the one with the little egomaniacs. Besides, you know, wouldn't, if you were McDonald's or something, $7 is nothing compared to
But this is personal only right now.
Well, you think about it, it's kind of personal too. Each one is individual. But, I don't know, like, what are you going to promote? Are you going to promote that, oh my god, I got so drunk last Thursday, I met this cute guy. Ooh, what was that? Hey, something came out.
Yeah, so, it's a nice way to try and make money, but I don't know if this is going to fly, because I think most of the people using Facebook are teenagers, probably.
Well, actually, there's lots of other adults who use it, too, mostly to keep in touch, but, teenagers like to talk. And,
Yeah, and they're not going to be doing this, because they have better things to spend the money on. And better yet, why would somebody give $7 to Facebook when they could have something better to spend it on? And if this is just being promoted, I mean, do you really want strangers to see this? Or do you have to be following someone? I'm not sure, but I just don't see I see where they're going with it, but I don't know if it'll be successful.
We don't know what's going to happen. I mean, Facebook's just trying to get a little more revenue coming in, and mostly in a way to try and ease get some investor confidence.
Yeah.
What is their stock right now?
I think it was at $22 this week last time I looked. Oh, $20.91 closed today.
$20.91? So it went down a little bit?
Yep.
Yeah, so
down a little bit.
It's stable. Well, it's stabilized around $20 a share. No, they're just trying to figure out how we can make some extra revenue coming in. We'll see what happens. You don't know. We don't know what's actually going to happen. But if you want to use it, go ahead. If you want to promote your own music using this, go ahead. You never know.
See, that's where a personal person promoting their own music. Now, that makes sense.
Yes, but
regular status updates, I don't think they do it.
Yes, but if you follow what's been going on lately, if you do want to promote your own music, you go to MySpace.
There we go. So, I don't know. I hope Facebook dies.
You do?
Yes.
Aww. Well, I don't care for Facebook anyway, so, yeah. You know me. I think Facebook is evil. Okay.
All right.
What's next?
Next up, moving on to other things. The October Skill of the Month update. Summoning looks a little bit interesting, though a few people have already leveled off. Fish has currently gained 1.5 million XP, Alta has gained 1.4, and Parnassius has gained 896,000. So, still a bit of a race going on, definitely close in the third, fourth, and fifth groups, So, should be interesting to see what happens as we're only 5 days into the month.
Sweet.
Yep. All right. Achievements of the week. We got two of them this week. First up being Poison Nova with 99 Slayer on the first. And?
We have a Div who got 99 Dungeoneering on September 29th. Congratulations to you both. And congrats on a 99 Dungeoneering. And I look forward to getting more people getting higher Dungeoneering's very, very soon.
Very good. Alrighty, I believe you have a pick for us.
Well, which one do you want to use?
Whichever one you want. I don't care, they were both good.
Alright, since we're talking about space and traveling to Mars and everything else, here's a little thing from the Exploratorium. So, basically, if you ever want to know what your age would be on other worlds, well, now you can! By entering your own birth date here, it will easily calculate what your age is on Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, but Pluto doesn't count as a planet anymore, so I'm a little sad.
Okay. do you have the link for that?
Yeah, I sent it to you earlier, or I'll resend
it. Oh, I closed the tab.
There you go.
Thank you.
So, basically, put in your age. So, apparently, if I was on Mercury, if we were living on Mercury, I would be roughly around 107 years old. That makes me feel really old. If I was on Venus, I would be around 42. Mars, I would be 13. And if I was living on the dwarf planet Pluto, I would be about 0.1 years. My next birthday will come in 2235.
So you won't even make it to one then.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, let's say put me in cryogenic sleep and use Pluto as a place to, you know, for cryogenics. Nice and cold over there.
Well, apparently I will be turning one in 2016 on Saturn.
On Saturn. All right.
I just turned a teenager on Mars.
Would you like to be a teenager again, Shane? No worries. Nothing at all.
Yeah, I'd like to do a couple things differently, actually.
Be more Maybe. Liberal?
No. Other way around.
Yeah. And let's see. If I was on Jupiter, I'd be around 2 years old. And my next birthday would be on the 2022.
Yeah, that's it. I want you to be 2 years old.
No. If I was 2 years old, the first thing you would do is probably strap me to some machine and glue my eyes open and watch some conservative television. Which is probably funded by PBS.
Alrighty, so have some fun with that. I think there might be a couple of rounding errors in the calculations, but that's okay. The Informer Roundup for the month of September is out too, so.
Informer Roundup. Okay, cool.
At informer.rsbnb.com. We cover everything that we had pretty much in September, and specifically micropayments, 15 reasons why you might not want to do Quest in RuneScape, and maybe the extermination of entertainment with Botany Bay. And I also drew up some user interface sketches of what RuneScape for a tablet might look like. So you can head on over to informer.rsbnb.com and read all of those and see what this future tablet-based RS interface might look like. It's at the wireframe stage, so don't expect it to be a full-looking interface. The idea of a wireframe is that you just get the general feel of it. So ideally what you do is you take this PDF and open it up on your tablet and then pretend that you're clicking around these buttons and see if they're usable enough, and then after that we'd take more feedback and say how can we make this better, and maybe we should separate out certain other things like that. So it's just wireframe state right now.
Cool.
And Informer is also hiring, so if you like to write, we are looking for a RuneScape writer and potentially a gaming writer as well. So there's the details in the roundup as to how you might apply for such a position. So basically, all you need to know how to do is write and have a good grasp of the English language. And, of course, if you're applying for the RuneScape position, play RuneScape or have something to say about RuneScape in general.
Cool. Anything else?
No, that's all I have to say about Informer.
Okay. Let's see. Don't really have anything to say about let's see, what's happening here? So I guess just have fun watching the debates if you're going to watch them, and, you know, pick which one you guys
what
like.
What have you been doing this week?
Yes, I made so much money off Glories. God, I'm rich, man. Besides
congratulations.
Oh, I'm richer, not rich. Compared to you,
oh,
I'm broke.
Okay. I have 25 mil.
I'm trying to get an Armadale Godsword because the prices are getting ridiculously a little bit low. And what's the other thing? I spent all of my lamps, the XP lamps, on summoning and prayer. So I'm about to get 90 prayer very soon, and I got 89 something, which I'm very happy about.
Yay! Anything else?
No, that's it.
Alrighty. As for me this week, I honored the dad. I did the second quest from last week. I used my lamps on Dungeoneering, as I said, so I got 80 Dungeoneering. So I was pleased with that. And I also did some more daily challenges, so I've been having good fun with those. And in the meantime, I'm debating if I should go get 99, or not 99, God no, 90 mining while I'm waiting for the Evolution of Combat to come out.
Oh yeah, I never remember. I was gonna take many of them to Fisherman's Wharf for Fleet Week. So yeah, this Fleet Week, FLEET, they're basically doing a bunch of air shows and stuff in San Francisco this week, and a bunch of bands and everything else.
Oh, okay.
So I was thinking about taking them there down there on Sunday and watch the Blue Angels, and take some pictures of the aircraft carrier they have around. They usually bring in for people to see. Can't get on it.
Is it going to be the Enterprise?
Nah. Never know which one
is
going to be.
Is it going to be nuclear?
It's always the nuclear ones. It's always whatever, okay, more or less they're using, maybe a couple of years old, but it's usually fairly modern. Or, you know, not like World War II time, maybe like, Vietnam era type of thing. But yeah, basically I was planning on taking them down there on Sunday to Fisherman's Wharf and let them watch the CEOs and the Blue Angels and everything else.
Alrighty.
Let's see. Weapons display at Alameda near U.S. Horn free open to the public. Oh, wait, that's in Oakland, is it? Yeah, Alameda's in Oakland.
Well, I don't think we have anything else to say here, so we should probably wrap this one up.
All right. Look forward to a special surprise coming soon. Hopefully you will all be delighted.
Yes. And please do remember to send those audio questions as well, because it would be nice to do another live show at some point. So next week, we hope that we can get to about 5 audio questions. So please do send those along.
All right.
Email them to questions@rsbnb.com, phone them into the Google Voice number, or send us a voicemail on Skype. And if, for those of you who don't know, the Skype name is RSBNB Update, and the phone number is 571-572-2632. See you next week, everyone.
Bye-bye. Take care.